sing our special. Brother Wade, you can come out of your cave now. Praise the Lord. Also, as they're coming up, just remember that this Friday, the meetings this Friday, they're in Veterans Memorial Highway in Austell, Georgia, Brother Mark, Jacob Mark. And the pastor is Brother John Dankwa, the brother that's coming to minister, which was Christine's former pastor. He always jokes with me because he says, I took Christine away from his church. He's like, you came international fishing and you took one of them. But he laughs about that. We laugh about that. But he's a good speaker. So if you have nothing to do on Friday night, come and hear the word. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Help is on the way. And that was for Brother Dick. Help's on the way, buddy. Don't worry. It's already there, actually. Amen. So we'll be praying for him. Start this evening and keep him on our heart. Is that okay? Amen. He's one of us, been one of us for a long time. So we all need prayer. Amen. So while you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Revelations, verse chapter 6. Let's talk a little bit about the sixth seal. Maybe bring it to a close with one more thought. And today we want to speak on I am the resurrection. Being next week will be the time that we celebrate the resurrection. You know that we were talking a few weeks ago that most people can't get him off the cross. Well, a lot of them can't get him out of the grave either. I mean, they just can't get him into their life. So we pray that if this message has shown us nothing else, even this sixth seal shown us that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He decided that this is the way it's going to be, and this is the way it is. And we must conform to his. How can the potter say to the clay, you should have done it a different way? You can't do that. The potter has all full control. But you know, in that the potter has full control, he knows what the pot's going to look like. And man, this one does. This potter knows exactly what he's looking for. And he found it in the bride of Jesus Christ in the end time. So let's bow our heads before we get started. Truly remember Brother Dick. Actually, remember also Sister Gail. She's going through a lot with him. They've been companions now for 60-something years. So she's, I'm sure, right there with him. So we want to pray for her strength, too. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you give us an opportunity to stand one more day in the purchase of your blood, Lord, to be here among a group of people that loves you, Father, that wants to hear more from you, Lord, that begs for revelation more than anything, Lord, there is. Father, we pray that you would grant that now as being the active participant in the service. You're the only one that can do the revealing. You're the only one that can do the speaking, Father. So I pray that you do that today, Lord. Be with Brother Dick, Lord, touch him. If all goes where the doctors have to go in, that, Lord, you will guide the doctor's hands and that you'll be right there with them, Lord. Be with Sister Gail also. Give her supernatural strength to handle any situation, Lord, that she'll be a solid rock for all of us to look on as our example of being a wonderful, wonderful wife. We pray, Lord, that you just be with each one of us, take care of us, be with us in this service. Be with the ones that are not here, Sister Johnny, and the ones that we think of now that are not with us today. We pray that you just touch their body, Lord. Sister Rebecca, Lord, with tax season, my, what a terrible time. She have to do a lot of work. We pray that you just give her strength. Be with each one, even the ones I don't know, Lord. I pray that you just bless them. Be with the little bride around the world. Bless the missionaries on the foreign fields, Lord. Thank you for bringing Brother George Quinn back from that long trip that he took, Lord. I pray that you'd give him strength also, Father. Just bless us today, Lord, in this continuation of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, sixth seal, Romans 6, verse 12. We're going to bring in one little thought that I kind of yesterday was a struggle. I'm working two people's jobs for the last few days, and sometimes your mind gets a little foggy, but at least I got one. So, thank you. All right. Aaron said, right. And I've been, but you know what? Sometimes, though, when you sit there in the numbness of your brain, you get a thought. Because you're not thinking about nothing else. You can't get nothing to come up, and then all of a sudden God goes, you know, stick this in there somewhere. So I think we will. Because today we're going to speak about I am the resurrection, but we're also going, I want you to keep in the back of your mind the word omnipotence. The word omnipotence, which is all powerful. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and every island was moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Looks like they have no hope. They don't. For the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You may be seated. I was thinking yesterday, too, that we've been kind of running around this point, and the point is that this has all happened because we're gone. We kind of touched on it the other day, but whatever's going on here is an event that cannot happen while we're here. That scripture cannot be fulfilled until the bride of Jesus Christ leaves the earth. So you and I are holding off that part of that wrath. But listen, have you ever thought of this, though? When we come to a place that we have a body change and that death is destroyed in the very, may I say, the death hole of the universe. This is the death hole of the universe. There is no death on Mars or on Venus. In the earth, there is death here because this is where man fell. But think about it, though. You and I, though, being that we come to a body change, think of how the earth is going to react to this. That's how the earth is going to react to this. That's how the natural earth is going to react when a bride stands on the earth with a glorified body. The dead saints have already come out of the ground. They've got their glorified body. Our bodies change. We get ready to step into another dimension. And when we step into another dimension, all heck's going to break loose. Because we're gone. Because we come to a place. We come to a position. That's why this sixth seal, right before the seventh opens, it's right perfect in place, which we know it is, but then I get to see more and more how that it is more in place, that you and I have a lot to do with this sixth seal. It will not open, cannot open until we're gone. It's barred. There's no way it can happen until the bride of Jesus Christ leave the earth, go into another dimension. We've already took a body change. I was saying, talking about this morning, we were talking about in Hebrews, about Melchizedek. See, Melchizedek was not your Savior. Right. That flesh Melchizedek, when God, I like to say it this way, when God slowed down enough to come into this dimension. Because remember, Brother Branham said the dimensions are faster. That's why there's other dimensions, because they're faster dimensions. Right. When God slowed down and come into this dimension, he put a body of 16 element flesh on, talked to Abraham. Now, he didn't take that back into the dimension that he came from. No. The theophany man went back in there. And I would say when he went through that curtain and got a lot faster, that flesh just melted back down into the earth. But now when Jesus Christ went up into another dimension, he took that flesh with him because that's your example and my example. He is standing in another dimension faster than this one with a glorified flesh body. Amen. So that's our example that you and I are not going to step through. Now, sure, when natural death comes, you step through into a faster dimension. What happens? You have to leave the flesh here. All right? You have to leave the flesh here. No man on earth has took his flesh with him into another dimension. Your theophany goes into another dimension and your body goes into the earth. But when you step back into here, it's all going to meet right back together. That is redemption, not replacement. Amen. That is redemption. Brother Hal, how you doing? You good? Good to see you, buddy. Good to see Brother Hal with us. He's not been feeling too good. He's feeling better now. Looking good anyway. Can hardly see him behind Brother John. But in John 11, verse 23, let's pull it up. We were talking here about the resurrection. Let's talk about that just a minute. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Well, now, he's true in 2 points. He's fixing to raise him up, but he's going to rise again in the resurrection. Because remember, Lazarus died, and he's going to have to be resurrected. Amen? Jesus resurrected him temporary. You and I get a temporary resurrection. We've seen people raised from the dead. Well, that's temporary. That person's going to die again. But not when we come to this resurrection, When we come to this resurrection that we're talking about, death has been destroyed. There is no other death. We've already died. We're dead in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. We're at the last day. She's talking about here. Jesus said unto her, I am standing here ever present right now. I am the resurrection. He didn't finish that. He said, I am the life. So whatever life you lose, Christ is going to bring it back. You say, well, we die. Well, we do. We lose our life on earth, but that life doesn't end. It goes into another dimension. But I'll promise you one thing. God's going to call it back. God's going to call it back into this dimension. Through who? I am. Thank you. You'll learn in a minute. Hey, don't get sleepy on me today. Y'all ain't had cake like you were did last week. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, not on me, in me, though he were dead. Now, how in the world are you going to be dead and believe on him, in him? That's what he just said. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's got to be somebody alive to believe for those that went on. Because if you're gone on, your believing's over. I don't believe I'm going to sixth dimension. I'm standing in it if I go by the grave. Amen? But there's somebody here that's got to believe in him. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. He was trying to get Martha to believe like he believed. Amen? And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen? You've got to believe that. I was telling the Sunday school this morning. It lies in our believing. It lies in our believing. We got all the message. We got seals are open. We got all these things. It lays in us believing what's already been said about us. Amen? And I think we're beginning to do that. We're beginning to see that we have been, in our own mind, we have separated ourselves and we become like Tunis. You know, it's us and Christ over there somewhere else, you know. No, it's not. It's not you in Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, so let's read the six. Let's read this. Now, I tell you what I did. For some of you that got the quotes, they ran me off one and I garbled the numbers up. But when they ran another one off, we need to get some ink because it was all messed up. And when I started writing it off, you couldn't read it. So anyway, I ran my copy off. And just go by the quotes. I'm not going to skip them. Just go one, two, three. All right? So this is obviously number one. Now, what we were talking about the other week, we know that this sixth seal is the judgment seal. It's the judgment seal. Now, look. See, that's what I mean about you and I have already been judged. My judgment lies in Christ. My judgment lies in what he's done. My judgment even lies in that he is standing in a glorified body in another dimension waiting on me. Because you know what? That man over there in that seventh dimension called Jesus Christ with a glorified body is not going to come back here until the millennium. All this is done without him being on earth in his human, mortal, immortal body. Because you're his body. He's going to do it through you. This is his judgment seal. And remember, the whole world is going to be judged by us. We're even judging angels. This whole world is judged by you, by the seven church age group from the day of Pentecost till the day we walk out of here. When we go to the white throne judgment to judge, not in judgment, the people that will on earth will be judged by you. And Paul's age, and Irenaeus, and Martin. And why? Because it's God in human flesh. Thrones. We're going to be in thrones at the white throne judgment. We're going to be there. Not standing down there, standing up here. Judging the whole world. I read you that scripture a long time ago. where the saints will even judge angels. We're not even supposed to take our brother to court. Now, that doesn't mean somebody's not a brother, so don't get me wrong. But you're not supposed to take a brother to court. You know where you're supposed to judge things if you're a church member? Church group, not member. Church group. You're supposed to do all your judging in this building right here. That's what the Bible says. Take the judgment not out to the world, because you know what? They will not understand some things that we understand. Amen? But now somebody else, that's a different story. But a brother should never take a brother to court. That's absolutely wrong. All right? And if you can't get it settled here, there's an altar up here for one of you to get saved, or both of you, or all of you. Amen? But here's the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people, where out of the tribulation judgment will come forth 144,000 redeemed Jews. Like Brother Dale said this morning, everybody has to die except the bride. Now, some of the bride have gone on, but everybody, there's got to be a group of bride that will not die to fulfill the scripture. So somebody is going to happen to. And don't worry. Abraham was 99. So age doesn't have anything to do with it. Okay? Abraham was 99 when he got a change. All right? So this has nothing to do with the bride. Remember, we're already gone. We done see the bride's gone. Can't place us anywhere else. Except back in the 19th chapter of the book of, that's Revelations, not Acts. Notice for the sixth seal is the judgment seal of the word. Everybody got that? You should. I've read it for 11 weeks in a row. All right. Now, number two, we'll get real quick to this. Pull up number two. Now, we find out also in this that the sixth seal now opened in a threefold purpose. Now, look, the sixth seal opened in a threefold manner, and so did the seventh seal open in a threefold manner. When we get to the seventh seal, we're going to see that it opened in a threefold manner also. Then we go back to Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and that opened in a threefold manner. So you see, there's a threefold purpose for these last few ones. I'm telling you, we talk about this, how important each seal is. As I get into each one, I see that one's important. And then when we leave the fifth seal, I say, man, can't nothing be no more important than the fifth seal. When I get in the sixth seal, well, that becomes more important than the fifth seal. So God just keeps bringing things out, you know. Because the sixth seal being the judgment seal, then all judgment's done under that seal. All judgment. Because remember, when we go to the white throne judgment, it will be judged what's on this earth. Right. Amen? And that will happen during this time. Listen, the bride is gone. Everybody else has to die. Naturally, physically die. And some have to stay dead for 1,000 years. Right. Amen? Even the foolish virgin, even the cup of water in my name, they have to be dead for 1,000 years before the white throne judgment, okay? But now you and I do not. But being this sixth seal is open, it's open because it's a judgment seal, but it also is a purging seal. What does judgment do? Judgment purges out the wrong. What does judgment do? When you judge something, you judge the wrong and it purges it out, or as we say in modern times, you come before a judge, and he sentences you to incarceration or freedom. Same thing with this. Judgment is the same thing, incarceration or freedom. All right? That's why Brother Branham said. He said, when you come through them doors, every church service, you either get what? Better or worse. Why? Because you judge. Judgment, it begins in the house of God. You're either going to get worse and take back out that door of what you brought in, knowing you should have got rid of it. Are you going to get rid of it in here and be happy when you go outside? Okay, so that's where the judgment is. And a judgment is for purification. That's what judgment is. It purifies everything. It puts all the bad guys in prison, supposedly, if it worked well. Puts all the bad guys in prison and all the good guys get freedom. It purges the bad stuff. So that's what he's doing with us. He's doing that in this sixth seal sanctification. He's purging us completely out and taking us in a rapture. It's for a threefold purpose. Now, here was the purposes. The first thing, the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation for purification. She had to be purged of her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message. This she was done in the tribulation period. We see they wind up over here in Revelation 7, between the 6th and 7th chapter, that she had been purged, she had been given her robes. Now, she's not the bride, but it's the church, the pure people that didn't have the opportunity to receive the message or in some way they were blinded by these false prophets. We see that happening now. And they didn't get a chance, and yet they're really sincere in heart. Because you know what? God does know the heart. God knows your heart.
Amen.
He knows your heart right now. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on with your heart. So he knew they would be sincere in heart, and here they're purged during this time. You notice that another purging, that's for Israel when she's gathering. That's the second fold. God purges Israel in the tribulation period. Out of the millions that are gathered there, there'll be a select 144,000, and they will be purged also. God purging Israel. Why? He's purging Israel so he can take her in. Them 144,000 got to be purged. They got to die before they can go over into another dimension. Because when God wipes this thing off, like Brother Dale was talking about, the Battle of Armageddon is man pushing buttons. It's an atomic war. All right? But we're not going to be here. Foolish virgin is actually going to be in the ground also. So is the 144,000. You understand? You know what I'm saying? Saying ground, but they're not going to be in this dimension. You see what it is? God's purging Israel. Now watch. Now there's a whole earth to be purged. There'll be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged. You see what it is? The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium's coming up, and see, everything that's got any filth in it is to be purged during the sixth seal. So the sixth seal is your purging seal, and that's the same thing with you and I, because you know what? Death has got to be purged out of us. Death itself, the little thing that we always have that problem with, that little dark thing called death that we're all heading toward. It's got to be purged out of us to where it does not bother us anymore. Okay? Is that all right? Say amen.
Amen.
That's all right with me, I'm telling you. I hate funerals. I don't like them. You know why? I just don't. There's a separation in there, you know. All right, let's go to the next one. Now, let's talk about this just for a second, what we've been talking about. The fifth seal we saw was justification, which would be the highest form of justification. God giving eternal life to a group of people that didn't even want it. What about grace? That's the greatest grace seal there is right there. And that's the greatest grace seal that you're sitting here today. That you weren't in Wesley's age and Luther's age and Pentecost age. Some of you came out of that Pentecost age. That's all right. I'm glad you came out. Amen? Because you look at this now, at this sixth seal, what is sanctification? Cleaned and set aside for service. Now listen, we've already been put in service by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen? We've already been put in service. We have eternal life in our soul. We've been put in service. But God wants to use you more. He doesn't want you to be a baby. Like we were talking about downstairs in Hebrews chapter 5. Paul says the reason you can't understand these things is because you're babies. You drink milk. He said, but strong meat is for those that are mature. That's why we want to be a mature church. You know why? Because when that Holy Ghost and fire falls, we'll know how to use that. Power without character is what? Satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. Amen? So when we see that listen, it's God in you. It's God. The Holy Ghost in fire comes in and burns that old nature. Well, you know what it's doing? It's burning the rest of it out. He killed the old man. I hope he did. You can't be married to Christ and have two husbands. Amen? So if you're born again today, your old man's dead. And you married to Christ. But then as you married to Christ, you are a bride. But he doesn't want just a bride. I've been married 40 years to June. She's my wife now. It's so scary. She's beginning to think like me. Luis. She's beginning to think like me. She said something the other day, and I said, that's something I'd have said. Y'all pray for her. She is him. But listen, as we're down here, though, to understand how Christ and the bride is one, you look at your bride and see that you're one. Amen? That's our example. But she is him. Now, remember, we come to the seventh seal, which will be, when I get back, be a little bit later on. That's Holy Ghost and fire comes and burns And you're going to have to be go with me there for a little while, because we're going to back out of it, because we still got to be under sanctification. Because when we come to sanctification, that's cleaned and set aside for service. All right? He's setting us aside. We were talking about, I'm going to read it today, about adoption and about the mechanics and dynamics. We got the mechanics. We need the dynamics. We got one. We got to have the other. We got to have the Holy Ghost and fire, but we got to look at this sanctification as you and I are set aside for not just any service, as we were during our sanctification time when we first got saved, then we got sanctified. What? God cleaned the jar up and set it, cleaned it and set aside for service. Then he filled it with the Holy Ghost. Now look, we get many refillings as a Christian. All right? But this last one is going to be a refilling that doesn't have to be filled anymore. Right. Your whole cup's going to be full. Your saucer's going to run over. Right. Your spoon's going to fall out of your bowl, whatever he says. If I don't stir your soul, your spoons fell out of your bowl. Yeah. Amen. Some people have little bitty bowls. Right. Some people have big ones. Right. Amen. But that's what that Holy Ghost and fire will do. It's, you know what it's going to do? It's going to change your atoms. It's going to change you into a glorified body. Amen. It's not going to throw this one away. Where somebody literally is going to stand on this earth. Amen. And just, your body's going to be changed. You're going to just absolutely drop right back to a 20-year-old person. Right. It's going to materialize right where you're standing. Amen. If that don't stir your soul, your shovels fell out of your hole, or your ditch, or wherever it is. It's a shovel. Maybe I'll do that every once in a while to keep y'all awake. Okay. I mean, we need a backhoe for some of this stuff. You know, I mean, but we got to remember, though, that we have got to remember. God didn't come on this earth to separate us. God came on this earth as a human to bring us back together. Amen. To bring us back to the Brother Dale was talking about this morning. You look and see God, when God was standing in the Garden of Eden, that's what we're talking about. We don't want to go back to the Garden of Eden where there's still the devil, where there's a beast there. We don't want to go back to that part of the Garden of Eden, because that was in the Garden of Eden. The beast was in the Garden of Eden, so that means Satan was there. Amen? We want to go past that. We want to go back into the side of our Maker, into that Genesis 1:26 man. Amen? And that's where we want to reside, in the Garden of Eden. Because when God stood in the Garden of Eden, there stood Adam. And then there come Eve. That was one person. That was one individual person. Flesh of his flesh. Bone of his bone. That's what's got to step on this earth. Believest thou this? Number three. But that we got justification, sanctification is clean and set aside. He has cleaned us, just leave it right there. He has cleaned us up during the church ages and sent us a prophet in the end time to tell us what our purpose is. Remember, cleaned and set aside for a purpose. Brother, I believe God sent Brother Branham to tell us not how to live right. Brother Branham, this message don't save you. This message will kill you if you're not born again. So quit worrying about being in the message. Get in Christ. He'll put you in the message. He'll put that message inside of you, because remember, they're one. But don't think you got to know this message and this message, this message, this message. This message wasn't sent to get us born again. It wasn't. People's been born again since Paul's age. So God sent a prophet to tell us who we are. That God's not up there somewhere. God's not out there somewhere. God's not in a creed or a dogma or a religion. He's a person. He's a man, and he's inside of you if you're born again. And break that. Oh, break the seals. What, you think he just broke them on paper? The seals broke in flesh. Amen. That's where they're breaking, is in flesh. My flesh, your flesh. That's where they break. It's not some physical pulling of a seal back and reading something on a piece of paper. You are written epistles. You are the one that God broke the seal to. You are the seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of your redemption. You're the seal. I don't know where that came from. But that's what sanctification is. Clean and set aside for a purpose. So you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Okay? Then you come to be born again by knowing Christ. You don't become born again by knowing the message. I'm just telling you the truth. This message was sent for a purpose. But with man, what had happened, remember, the message of Elijah is a message of restoration. Amen? A message of restoration. He restored, Malachi 4, restored back what? The faith of the fathers. The faith of the fathers. They got born again under the 120 in the upper room, got born again and didn't know who William Branham was. Irenaeus, nobody, they never knew. So listen, don't worry about I know the message or I don't know the message. Know the one that wrote it. Get to know Christ. Get to do what Christ said to do. Brother Brown didn't tell you women not to cut your hair. The Bible tells you that. So if you're denying it, you're not denying a man. You're denying God. Don't put it on a man. Amen? If we drink, smoke, and cuss, you know what? The Bible tells us not to do that. Brother Branham had to come back to build that back up to a place to where God could speak to us further. To where, I said, where he could speak to us further. He could give us a purpose for being here. Amen? Our purpose for being here is a body change. There is no other denomination. There's no other church age. There's no other church age messenger. It's either us or nothing. This is the last. This is it. Coca-Cola is not it. This is it. This is it. There's nothing else left. If we don't get this, we can't throw it to somebody else. But so I know now, we're up against a wall. Somebody will get it. Somebody. And who's going to get it? Oh boy, we good. But that's what it is. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then you'll start learning the message. Listen, I read this message. Who was it? Where were we? Was it Anna? Did you ask me that question in Bible study? Yes. Anna Kamani. Marunga. Anna Marunga asked me a question. Now, you know my background. I grew up in this church from 1971. Actually, from 1968. I was 8 years old. And then I grew up in the message, and then I studied the message. I sat here, and you know what? I had the ability to read. I was a smart kid. Sorry, I was. The other ones are a little different, but they were harder. But I taught them all I knew. Then I left. But no, listen. Not being funny, I read the message of the hour. I understood the major doctrines. They were not hard for me to understand, even at a 14-year-old kid. But I'll promise you one thing. I'll promise you I wasn't born again. I might have been saved. I might have just got God to forgive me of my sins one day when I came up here. The pulpit used to be right here. The pulpit was right here, and the piano was right there. There was a wall. There was a little room went back about where Tony's at. And then the row of seats went like this, and the front door was right there. Anybody got that? So I came up, and I cried. I asked God to forgive me of my sins, but you know what I did? I didn't go any further. But what I done, though, I packed this in by the letter. By the letter. Brother Tom Fallbush got a lot of my books. I think they still got some of them, where you could see where I would make notes. And a 14-year-old boy, and I wasn't born again. I proved that for about 19 years. I was thinking about this morning, you know, I've even got my house number, Brother Joe, in my future home. You know your house number? My house number is 071998. Because that's the month and the year I got born again. July 1998, I got born again. But yeah, Sister Anna, I went through all them years knowing the message was right. I could sit here and read and tell you exactly what it was. So it's not the message that's going to save you. The letter of it. No, when I came to the altar in December of 1997, stood right here, I gave my heart to God and I started reading the Bible. The Bible, not the message. I'd already read the message. I was reading the Bible to see where I needed Christ in my life. And then 6 or 8 months later, I got the new birth in July of 1998. And then you know what? All that started hitting on all the cylinders. It wasn't just that it was sex in the garden. No, the serpent seed's standing here today. Not me, but it's here. Amen. The seed of the serpent. How'd you get here? Physically. Okay, so it's still here. See what I'm saying? But now, by the grace of God, I'm telling you, by the grace of God, my walk in life was that I went through all those years knowing in the very back part of my mind there was a seed planted. It was the Word. It had to be quickened, though, for it to do any good. So it didn't. When I came up here and gave my heart to God, it didn't quicken the Word immediately. You have to go through a process of justification. I can tell you when God justified me. I can tell you when He sanctified me because I got baptized in January. It was cold. I got baptized in January of 1998. And when I come out of that water, I felt so empty. I stood there and hugged June for, 15 minutes, I guess, just crying like a baby. But when I let go of her, my whole insides was like at rest. Like there wasn't nothing in me. Sanctified, cleaned, and set aside for service. Right. Well, you know what? I didn't say I got it. I knew that I had to continue going. Up until July, we were at Lake Malone in Kentucky. On a vacation with June's parents. A lot of them were heathens. I mean, raw heathens. And here I was sitting in the motorhome reading a message. And I can't remember what the message was. Sorry, I can't. But there was an emotion came over me, not of crying, not of weeping and sobbing, but an emotion came over me of power. Something came to me, and when I looked back down and started reading, I just raised my hand to God. I said, thank you. Finally, it's over. You got to come to that, to say, finally, it's over. And then you come to rest, but you don't rest. No, you run outside and jump in a lake, you know, do something, you know. Then you can have some emotion. But it was just a feeling of power, not that I could pick the motorhome up, but just something came upon me that said, hey, this is it. So see, that was a new birth. But you know what? Every time I open this book, and every time I study the message and every time I read the Bible, I get that same power. I get that same confidence. My heavens, if God Almighty is your Father and He's living inside of you, you should have confidence. You should walk out into this world and say, I am a son and daughter of God. But our walk never stops. It continues. Oh, sure, we all fall and we get up. We fall and we get up. That's part of being a Christian. Listen, if God don't chastise you, you're a bastard child anyway. You're not even His. So don't worry. Things will happen. I never was sick. None. You think, boy, when you get the new birth and you start coming back to church, boy, you know, you're going to be. No, I was the sickest. You know, Daddy knows. I was the sickest from 1998 to about 2001. I had everything in the world happen to me. Some of the most, I'll tell you about it in private, weird stuff. Weird stuff. Weird. I mean, weird. You go, where did that come from? But you know what? It was God turning the devil loose on me, just like He did Job. He said, well, you can't touch his soul. You can't touch his life. But you sure can do what you need to do because you know what? That's my boy. That's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. Same thing with you. I'm not saying anything to make me. I'm just up here to tell you that your walk should be pretty close to that. If you're not, you're missing something. If you don't, you know, they sometimes, like Brother Gary Atkins, sometimes, you know, he says, God speak to you. He said, 3 months, 4 months, God don't say a word. But you know what? It's child training. It's child training. I mean, if every time I got in trouble, I run to Daddy and Daddy would just give me, you know, here's $1,000, son, go take care of your problem. Well, you know what? I'd be a spoiled brat. But when I was looking for my father, I couldn't find him. My natural father. It was the heavenly fathers who I had to look for. So when you look for your heavenly father, when you start having problems, don't start calling people. That's where we get to that priest thing, you know. Call the priest. He'll take care of it. No, call your daddy. Call on God. God's the only one who can save your soul anyway. Mama tried to save me for 20 years. She did a good job, but she's not the Savior. But mothers do that because they're wired different. June's the same way. She tries to save all our kids. But that's okay. I mean, that's the mother part. I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm just saying God has to do the work. You can't. Mama can't. Daddy can't. You must do the work. God must do the work in you and through you. All right? So now that we got all that done, where were we? But remember, though, the clean and set aside for service, you already went through that one time when God brought you for a purpose to the place. Now, see, now look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. When I come and gave my heart to God, now remember, there's certain things you're still going to have problems with, especially under justification because the unclean spirit hadn't went out yet. So be careful. Don't worry about that. But see, you got to step over into sanctification where after I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, when I come out of that water, I felt a cleansing process. The things I needed or wanted just totally went away. Most of you know I chewed tobacco every day of my life. Every day from 14 years old till that day I got saved. And then God took it away just like a light switch. And you know as well as I do, some of you fought the cigarettes and the tobacco and you fight different things. Now listen, there's other things I fought. Don't think I'm perfect. There's other things I fought. Still fighting. Right? There's things I fought, though, but there's things that I didn't. There's things that just went totally away, and I didn't. When I stepped out the next day, no desire. Now, see, that's only God. Satan won't ever do that. That's God. All right? So you got to see that, though, in your own life, that you made that step to sanctification. And then you got to not stay there and say, well, I'm fine. I feel good. You know, I could have come out of the water there in January, and I said, man, I'm born again. I just, all of my cares have went away. No, I knew that God had to bring some kind of a quickening power to quicken you to the Word, not to anything else but to the Word of God, so that you can start, so you can start understanding why serpent seeds the way it is. You can understand why the Lord Jesus Christ is a baptism. Not that you can just read, because Brother Brown said, it's just plain reading to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just plain reading to see serpent seed and all these different things. But when you get a revelation, you can tie serpent seed from the garden all the way to today. That I didn't do because I wasn't born again. But now since I got the guy inside of me that wrote the book, amen. Same with you. Right. That's no different than me and you. Glory. I just had a little bit of a background. I read because I love to read. I read the message. I just had all that laying there. Right. Then God quickened it, which thank God for that. You ought to thank God for that. Right. For everything He's given you, you ought to thank God for it. Glory. Amen? Everything. If He gives you one revelation, that's something He don't give to everybody else. Right. He gives it to you. Right. All right? So walk with God. Do the things of God. I came to church. I read my Bible. I started doing the things I was supposed to do. Amen? That's the key. I didn't come up here and say, oh, God saved me. And then you didn't see me for 3 months. No, buddy. No, that's just like we talk about finding Jesus in jail. That's just getting caught. Hello. That's what a lot of people do. They find Jesus in jail, so the judge will say, oh, he's converted. Then they go out and kill somebody. They didn't find Jesus in jail. No, they just got caught. Come and confess your sins to God. Get rid of the thing. And then do what He said. Walk in what He said. Start reading the Bible. Amen. There's your key. Really, don't worry about the message. Read the Bible. It will direct you straight to the message. I'll promise you. Because it should have done every one of us that way. That's why we're sitting here today. It directed us to a place. You ought to thank God every day that He showed you this message. Where am I? Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I took up too much time. He wasn't the only Word, He was God Himself. The dynamics in the Word. That made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, and dead in the grave. So it doesn't matter if somebody's body is cold, stiff, and dead in the grave. Jesus' was. But when what was inside of Him stepped back into that flesh, that quickening power shake into life and rise again. And He didn't have to roll away the stone. I believe all He done was just did this with His fingers. He just did that and the stone went all the way. Yeah, it wasn't even an effort. He could have walked through the stone. He walked through the wall to visit the disciples right after that, didn't he? So a stone's not going to hold Him in the grave. Surely no Roman seal's going to keep Him there. I am He that was dead, so dead till the sun said He was dead, the moon said He was dead, the stars said He was dead. Sorry, Brother Hallam, I'll do this real fast. All nature said He was dead. Sometimes He says I get too fast for Him. And now the whole world has to recognize that He's alive again. Why? Because you and I are here. He was not only the mechanics, God's Word, He was the dynamics to prove it. And as He being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of Him. When He resurrected, you were inside of Him. Amen. Well, I tell you, we've already been to hell. When He, that Saturday, that body may have laid cold, stiff in the grave, but His theophany was down into hell. In another dimension, telling them people who He was. Right. In the days of Noah, those people, He said, I'm the one. So, Brother Larry, if you got the same theophany part inside of you, you already been to hell. You don't have to ever go again. Wherever He went, that's where I was. Hey, if Brother Branham said, oh, we always go, oh, hallelujah. We walked the shores of Galilee with Him. Hallelujah, Brother Branham. We went to hell with Him too. Amen? So you don't have to go. Right. You already been. Because it's part of Him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any others had spoke of the bride. Whoa. It can only manifest. Now who's it going to manifest through? The bride. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she is flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, life of His life, power of His power. Hang on to that. Right. German chocolate cake! Amen. Hang on to that because we're going to talk about that in just a minute. That says power of His power. Amen. She is Him. As man and woman are one and woman taken from His side, she had taken a spirit, the feminist part, from Him. The flesh from His side made both mechanics and dynamics the wife. The spirit of Him and the flesh of Him and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics. Until the church of the people, until that church becomes both dynamics and mechanics in the spirit of God that moved Him to do the things that He did. Right. If He hit on 16 cylinders, so will the bride. Right. Amen. For He said in John 14:12, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. I'll give him a charge of My dynamics in his mechanics. See, I had the mechanics. I had the mechanics. I had read with my eyes and my brain, had forged that in my brain. Christ, the mystery of God revealed, seven seals, seven church ages, Daniel 70 weeks. I'd read them books when I was 14 years old. That was forged in my head. I didn't forget it. Why? Because I would need it. But then when the dynamics come, it charged that, what I had held. He that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall who do also, I'll give him a charge of My dynamics in his mechanics, that the world will not be able to withstand it. And I'll raise him up again at the last day. That's the Easter message. The dynamics and mechanics together. My mechanics without the dynamics, no good. Neither is the dynamics without the mechanics. You see people shouting, jumping up and down, they don't even know what the message says. It just feels good. The last Laodicea. It just feels good. Do it. You can shout, scream and shout, jump up and down all you want to and deny this word. It won't do any good. You're just cranking around the pistons. Got the spark there to fire, but no gasoline to fire it. It only works as they come together. Amen. So one will sit still and the other one will go up. That's the only way there is to it. You know what he's talking about? There's one church going to stay here and the bride's going to leave because she gets both mechanics and dynamics. But one has mechanics and dynamics. It brings it to pass of what he says the truth. It just won't move no matter how good the mechanics is until the dynamics come. When the dynamics come, that fire is made to connect with that octane in the gasoline. Then that explodes. It causes a combustion, and that combustion moves every motion, every move, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, let's move on to number four. It's the rising of the sun. Same message. That's that divine revelation of the Word made flesh. Who is that? You. If it was flesh in that day by the sun, the groom, it's the flesh today by the bride. Whoso sins you remit, they're remitted. Whoso sins you retain, they're retained. I just told you that. That's what judgment is. Now, the Catholic Church picked it up and took it to the priest, but that's carnal. Watch. It was the spiritual revealed word that did it. Babies, not babies. It was a spiritually revealed word to mature people that will do it. Amen? John 1:14 says what? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now listen, I want to ask you a question about that. That's why I put it up there again. Watch that scripture. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now let me ask you a question. We know Jesus was begotten of the Father, right? Right? Now I want to ask you a question. Are you begotten of Jesus? Are you begotten of the Father? If you're begotten of Jesus, you're a grandchild. God don't have grandchildren. So you're begotten of the Father. So that whole scripture's view. You say full of grace and truth, you better have some. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory. We know that was Jesus Christ, but I wasn't begotten of Jesus Christ who was begotten of the Father. That makes me a grandchild. No, I was begotten of the Father. Amen. Who was that? Jesus Christ. We know that. Glory. Amen. Look at number five. Seed's not air with a shuck. And along came sanctification. How many believe in sanctification? Sure we do. You believe the Bible, you have to. That's what I mean. That's what people, most people in the message, they just believe the message and think they're born again. No, you must be justified. Christ is the only person that can justly forgive you of your sins. No one else. God's the only one that can clean you up and put you aside for service. So it's the Bible. We got to go back and see the Bible. And then when we see the Bible way of justification, sanctification, that's why I love the future home. Brother Branham gets all the way up to telling us about the apex of the message. The future home, where we're going to live for an eternity. Our city. He says, don't forget the plan of redemption. He said, don't forget justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. He said, that's what I've taught from the beginning. And he said, I see that it's still true today. Amen. He didn't change his 1963. People say, no, 1963. He said, well, I just got to believe the message. Now, the devil believes the message. The devil believes in one God and trembles. That's what the scripture says. No, we got to get the essence of this message. Because look, when you come to Pentecost, you got the restoration of the gifts. Brother Brown wasn't even on the scene when the Holy Ghost fell in 1906. Wasn't even born yet. Wasn't even born, 09 when he was born. So 1906, Azusa Street, Brother Brown wasn't even born when the Holy Ghost fell on that day of Pentecost, right? Right. They call it the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Now remember, the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism during that time to be the messenger. But remember, what did man do? Man stopped it. Man's the one that stopped and says, speaking in tongues is it. If you don't speak in tongues, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You know what God did? God just moved right on. Just like the stalk had life in, or the two shoots had life in it. The stalk had life in it at one time. The shuck had life in it at one time. That's the Pentecost.
and held the grain. But now remember what we're going to read right here. That shuck has got to pull away to show the grain, because the shuck is not the grain. Shuck had life in it, but the shuck is not the grain. It protected the grain. Like I've said many times before, Brother Branham could not have come on the scene and been as effective as he was if it hadn't been for Pentecost. Think about it. If it hadn't been for Pentecost, and he went to the Pentecostal people because they accepted him. The Baptists sure didn't. The Methodists sure didn't. After a while, they said, no, we don't want nothing to do with that. But the Pentecost was because he had a little bit of that gift working and all that. But remember, that was the bait on the hook. The hook was to get a body changed. The hook was to bring the revelation of the seven seals. Thank God the sun's out. Our storm's over. Thank God. That was a lot of rain a minute ago. But look, speaking in tongues, they call it the initial evidence. Speaking in tongues, there they call the initial evidence, which brought forth what? The shuck. But they denominated. But when you come to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, then the shuck pulls away from it. What is a shuck? The shuck looks like the grain because it's kind of shaped like it. Why is it shaped like the grain? Because the grain's got a shape inside. I mean, if the grain's this, like, if a grain's like this, the shuck's going to be like that because it covers it. But remember, a wheat is looks almost like a football. So the shuck has to do this over the top of it. But see, you shake that shuck off to get to the seed, because there's where the life is. And that's me and you. The shuck pulls away. Why? They can't stand to go on into the seed. They can't go into the seed because they're not seed. Now you say, well, they're not born again. No, I didn't say that. They weren't seed for this time. Because when God moved on, he brought seed for the end time. Because remember, I will restore what? Restore back the seed that went in the ground. But the real genuine bride church will bring forth the entire Word of God in its fullness and in its strength, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? Everybody all right with that? Say amen. Now let's go to John 14 real quick. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I was thinking, I want you to do something for me. Just something silly. You sit down and do crossword puzzles. I do Wordscape on my phone. I'm confessing today. I do little puzzles on my phone to kind of clear my brain every once in a while. Once in the morning, while in the afternoon. But just write down. I was thinking about it yesterday. Everybody's looking at each other going, I'm doing this. I'm doing Minecraft. So anyway, we all have our little quirks. But I lost my thought. No, I was thinking, driving down the road yesterday. You know, I made mention the other day about what a cult is. A cult, or even something that they could come against us, is normal practice. You know, whatever's normal to the world. I want you to sit down one day, and I want you to just list everything that you used to do. Hide it. Don't let everybody see it. But then write down what you do now. And look at what the world, because see, this was what the world still does. This is normal. I was thinking, you know, earrings, girls wear pants to church now. All that's normal. That's normal in the outside world. Tattoos are normal. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Get two or three and hide them, do something, whatever. But anyway, you know, earrings, that is all normal. That's accepted practice in 99% of the denominations of the world. They've even got coffee shops in churches. They've even got, now they got a place where you got cup holders, where you can bring your coffee in and sit down and have church, you know. But that's normal. That's becoming normal. It's normal for them to go to a bar and have a beer. Doesn't matter if you, it's like the old saying goes, you know, a Baptist will talk to you unless he's in a liquor store. Think of that. But that's become normal to them, though. That's all normal, smoking cigarettes. The Baptists always hated people that drank. That's why they tell that joke. The Baptists hated people that drank, but they'd smoke. Yeah, right. So they justified that somehow. So, but you look over here and write a list of things that's normal. And then write what you do. We're the most abnormal people in the world. We don't even think like this world. Or you shouldn't. I mean, your thought process is not even like the world. Thank God it's not like the world. Thank God He washed me and cleaned me up, cleaned you up. And we don't have to go by accepted practices. I mean, think about it. Go inside your home and look at things that other people would be normal. You know, the cigarette lighter and the cigar machine. And, you know, you see these things when you deliver mail. You deliver them to the Baptist preacher, you know. Anyway. But that's normal. He's not going to get in trouble. You're not going to get in trouble for any of that. You're not going to get in trouble for going to church with your pants on, sisters, in a Baptist church now. Even the Baptist shorts. You see men going in with short. Now that's accepted practice to them. To you and I, it would be totally abnormal. Amen? Why? Because we've been changed. Our whole attitude. That's why this world's not our home. But there's enough of this world. I'm talking about this earth. Not the world. There's enough of this earth that's going to bring me right back to here because this is mine. This was our earth before Satan became a squatter. This is my earth. This is my earth. And God come in and made it His earth. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. But just do that sometime. Just kind of run through your mind all the things that you see people do that's accepted practice. And then you try to think of, I mean, you're just weird. We're just weird. We don't even think like that. We're like, what in the world are they thinking? But you know what? It's just accepted practice. Like me and that man was talking yesterday, brother. He's not a Baptist. I don't know what he is. He's definitely not a Baptist. Because he started talking about marriage and divorce. Now, this is a denominational guy. Started talking about marriage and divorce. He said, what do you think about that? He said, we got deacons that's married 3 or 4 times and all this stuff. I said, well, you know what the Bible says. He said, yeah, I know what the Bible says. He said, unless your wife committed adultery or unless your wife's dead, you can't marry again. Woman can't ever marry again. Where have we been? But that's all normal. They can do that out there. But we don't do that. Well, when you start talking about marriage and divorce, people get quiet. You can shout about everything in the world, but when you start saying, when you say them two words, or three, marriage and divorce, everybody goes, you could have gone all day and not said nothing about that. We've all had our problem. But you know what? God's made a way. God's made a way. I promise you, once you get born again, you won't ever do it again. Right. Remember, Brother Bram said, go on as you are. Don't ever do it again. Right. All right? So be thankful for grace, but let's don't make it greasy grace. Because, see, they've made it greasy grace out there. Because the first thing they tell you, I'm telling you, you talk to somebody and talk about how perfect you are and how God's made you perfect. First thing they're going to say is, no, I ain't perfect and you ain't perfect. I said, well, you talk about yourself. I'm not going to talk about me. I'm going to tell you what God said about me. I said, you can tell me what you said about you. I said, but God said I was perfect. I don't know about that. You see what I mean? That's accepted practice to just make an excuse that you're not perfect. Right. It's why I do these things. I don't know. I ain't going to charge you for that. I guess it did have something to do with the sixth seal. Anyway. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. The world has blinded itself to God. Because remember, they think they're still going to heaven. I'm not talking, listen, when I tell you to write down, I'm not telling you to write down what a sot drunk would do. I'm talking about nominal Christians. Just write down what they do and then write down what you do. Because they think they're born again doing these things. That's accepted practice now. Why? Because of this thing right here. Weak pulpit. Amen? Weak pulpit. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he is dwelling with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth or understandeth me no more. They've lost the understanding of Christianity. Right. But ye see me, because we haven't. Because I live. Now, see, that's what Brother Branham, it took a prophet to turn us back to that. Right way of living. But remember, that wasn't his message. It was part of it. It was to restore and then bring the seals and then bring the revelation of the statue of perfect man and all those things to show Christ in you the hope of glory. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Looks like there's one person standing there. There's not three. Look, I in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. But if I'm in my Father, he's in the same place. If ye and me were in the same place, you're not moving three people around. You got one person. All right.
I'm trying to cut this thing short here. Let's go to the next one. Hear ye him. It's talking about, let's read this one. A supernatural something taking place. His garment glistened like the sun in the middle of the day, as white as they could be. God placed on him that robe of immortality, showing that he had received him. Now remember, this was Matthew 17, Mount Transfiguration, when the adoption came. But now remember, when he put that robe of immortality on Christ, remember, it was temporary. Yeah. 6 months later, he died. You can't die an immortal person. It was showing a position that he had come to.
Amen.
All right,
that's the thing that God will do to his sons here on the earth someday. He will call you aside, church. If you'll only obey him. Who? Obey Christ.
Right.
Obey Christ. And stay on the word and believe it. And he will place into the church, before the coming of Jesus Christ, he will place into the church all the powers that Christ had in him will be in the church.
Glory.
All that God was, he poured into Jesus. All that Jesus was, he pours into the church. God wanting his work done. He sent it into his son. The son, wanting the work done, sent it into the church. At that day, because the same power of God was in Jehovah God, rested in Jesus Christ. The same power that rested in Jesus Christ rests in the placed sons in the body of Christ.
Right.
Amen. Placing of a son. Take him out of a certain place. Have a ceremony before angels. Place him positionally. That's what the statue of perfect man does. It places you positionally. What he is in the body of Christ.
Right.
Then that person has the authority.
Yeah.
Let me say this, if you count me a fanatic from this night on, that very same thing that I'm speaking of will be done.
Amen.
Now, Brother Branham is prophesying.
Yeah.
He's opening something up. That will be done. He said, if you count me a fanatic, this, what I'm telling you, will be done. What? There'll be a power put into the church, and now is coming in, that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word and it'll create itself right there.
Right.
We haven't seen powers like that coming into the church now. Now listen, this is 1960. Brother Branham has went through almost what? 23 years of seeing healing after healing after healing after anointing after dead being raised,
right.
Sick being healed.
Right.
We haven't seen powers that lights coming into the church now.
Right.
I know it for a fact.
Right.
Say unto this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you've said shall come to pass. You can have what you have said. The placing of the church in position where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church, then critics' mouths will be shut. Oh, don't you think there's critics? Amen? There's critics.
Amen?
The critics' mouth will be shut. It'll be a short time. Jesus came right off the mountain and went straight to Calvary. That's what it meant. He had that robe of immortality on him, but 6 months later he went to Calvary right here. Notice it won't last long, but it'll be there. There's your prophet telling us what's going on. All
right,
let's read the next one. Maybe just a touch longer today, but it'll be okay. We'll be fine. We'll go outside for 2 hours and stand and talk anyway. What did he say in Malachi 4? Would restore. Restore back the original Pentecostal faith. Now, that's what the first part of his message was. To, I didn't mean, you've been looking at my hind end all day. Sorry. back to the people. You should have slapped me out of the way. Back to the people with the same Pentecostal message, the same Pentecostal sign, the same Pentecostal evidence, the same God, the same power, the same teaching. Everything exactly, with the vindication of the same pillar of fire that struck Paul down on the road down to Damascus amongst us today, doing the same things he did in that day, uniting. We see the nations uniting. We see the world uniting. We see the churches uniting. We see the bride uniting, uniting with the Word. Why? The Word is God. Amen. And as the Word, as the bridegroom being the Word, and the bride being the hearer of the Word, they come together in a union.
Right.
They unite like a wedding. See, they're getting ready for a wedding, and they become one.
Amen.
The Word becomes you. You become the Word. How much plainer can that be?
Right.
We've read these quotes since 1963, but you know what? They mean a lot more to me now than they did 6 months ago, 2 years ago, or whenever I read it last. Amen? They unite like a wedding. They're getting ready for a wedding. They become one. The Word becomes you. You become the Word. Jesus said at that day, you know what? All the Father is, I am. All I am, you are. And all you are, I am. Wow.
Right.
And that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, at that day, what day? This day.
Right.
We find out the great hidden mystery of God being revealed. And what did I tell you the great mystery of God is? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
That God can walk around on this earth and be so abnormal, but walk right here on the face of the earth and be God walking on 2 feet.
Right.
Amen. Oh, how I like that, he said. All right, let's go to that. Now, this is the second part. I want us to get to this, and then we'll close. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So let's hear what Brother Brown said. Go tell my disciples, this is 1953. He went to the grave of Lazarus crying like a man, tears rolling down his cheek as he wept and stood there. And a man that had been dead 4 days and the skin worms crawling in and out of his body. But see him raise his little figure like that and say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Think of it. He that believeth, liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What a hope we have this morning then when we visit our grave of our loved ones. What a hope we have in this mortal flesh today as the Holy Spirit bears record, he lives. What? In your mortal flesh. Shall never die, has everlasting life. Yet we pack the body over the graves of the saintly of us. But inside they are alive. They're living somewhere. Now remember, he'd not even been behind the curtain of time at that point. This is 1953.
Right.
When he stood and said, I am the resurrection and the life, and there was a man laying there, he said, take away the stone. And the contamination of his body, that odor of a human body, you know what it is. When they raised up, why? It was a sickly smell around here. But you know what? Did that bother him? It bothered Martha, but it didn't bother him.
Right.
But he spoke out and said, Lazarus, come forth. And a man that had been dead 4 days rose up from the grave. Now, where is the resurrection voice message at? It's in me and you.
Right.
All right. So the reason I read that, forget about the circumstances. Well, it looks pretty bad. It stinks. There's a sickly smell around here. What? Death. It didn't bother Jesus. He'd already told them who he was.
Right.
All right, let's go to the next one, number 9, or the next one. Then Jesus came and called, 1964. Neither has he changed yet, just as much God denied as he ever was. See, that's what Brother Branham, he was trying to get the people to see he was God right there. He wasn't a historical God. He changes not. And she knew that it was him. Watch, just a few minutes, it proved it. When she said something to him about her brother, said, Lord, I believe that you are. And he said, watch, I am the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth me shall never die. I am. That's the I am was in the burning bush with Moses. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I was the wall. I am still he. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. after this great assurance that she had that he was the promised word, when he said being a prophet, he could not lie. Therefore, he, when he said, I am the red, he said, I am the I am. Now, that's not in the scripture. But it's hooking the scripture together. He knew it was the same person that spoke to Moses in the burning bush.
Right.
It's the same person that gave you the new birth.
Amen.
That's why it's the I am.
Right.
I am he that is the resurrection.
Amen.
And the life. Are we thinking about Jesus or are we thinking about the Jesus inside of us? All right, let's go to the next one. Number 10. Or whatever the next one is. Then Jesus came and called, 1964. Now when she heard, she was right. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Oh, what an assurance of the promised word. For he was that I am that was in the wilderness with Moses back there in the burning bush. Even when all hopes was gone, yet she was satisfied. If she could only get him to ask, it would take place. Now how we need faith like that today. Now she had to believe for the impossible. Here's the whole thing. This is the whole key. We've got to believe something that's totally impossible.
Right.
We've got to believe for something that's totally... But what's the believing?
Right.
It's believing unto that all things are possible to him that believe. Now, she had to believe for the impossibles. To the modern mind, listen, to the modern way of thinking, we're not going to get a body change. We're just going to die and come up in a resurrection with something brand new. That's what the denominations and most of the people in this message, if you nail them down, they don't think there's enough to get this thing right here changed. But if it changed Jesus' body, it's going to change mine.
Right.
Amen? Didn't bother him one bit. Now, she had to believe for the impossibles, yet the modern mind, modern way of thinking, she had to believe for the impossible. But impossible things are made real when God is took at his word. The impossibles is made realities when God is taken at his word. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go to number 11, junction of time. I like this one. Now, here's where we're going to bring this word in, but I want you to see what this word means in just a minute. There he walked to the grave. Omnipotence manifesting here among us. Living with us. God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Here he lived with us. God proving himself through his Son, Christ Jesus. He was omnipotent and miraculous. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, where is that omnipotent and miraculous person at, may I interpolate? Where's he at? He's in you. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. How can we look for anything else? But when he speaks for the miraculous to happen, how can we expect anything else? So here he goes down to the grave of weeping, and then omnipotence gathered itself together. Hey, a prophet could only say that. And then omnipotence gathered itself together. And he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And a man that was already rotten, his nose had fell in his face for 4 days. The skin worms had done set in. Corruption knew its master. Hallelujah. Think about what happened inside that tomb. What kind of reaction took place inside that tomb for that body, them skin worms to go away, and for his nose to come back, and for everything to come back and shake that body back to life? Oh, man. If he can do it, we can do it. Through him, we can do this. He gave back the life of this dead man, and a man that was once dead stood on his feet and lived again. The miraculous. I am the resurrection and the life, saith God. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Speak omnipotence. Miraculous will take place. Now, is God here to speak in front of the tomb of Lazarus? Is God here today in human flesh? And yours.
Right.
Speak omnipotence, miraculous will take place.
Right.
And you always do it at the junction. We're at a junction right now, folks.
Exactly.
They might have been at a junction in 1956, but we're at a junction of time right here because we're fixing to blend right into eternity.
Oh,
yeah. And we're at the junction. Be alarmed when you see these things happening. We're at the end time. Omnipotence speaks, and a dead man, dead and lived again, stood on his feet and went to a banquet and eat supper with him. Oh my, what happened? Some glorious day, while we were once dead in sin and trespasses, omnipotent spoke. We were going to hell, and omnipotent spoke. We've raised from hell to glory, and someday we'll eat the banquet supper at the last day. Omnipotent speaks. God's word is omnipotent. We believe it, and raised from death into life. He that heareth my words and believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Omnipotence. You know what omnipotence means? Pull it up. Pull up to the next one. Where it says entomology. You didn't get that one? You got that one not on you didn't get the definition? Maybe not. Anyway, leave it right there. The word omnipotence derives from the Latin term omnipotence, meaning all. Omni means all. Potens means powerful. The meaning of the term omnipotent has been used to connect a number of different positions. These positions include but aren't limited to the following. A deity is able to do anything that it chooses to do. Now that's easy for us to say about God. Wake up for a minute. That's easy to say about God. A deity is able to do anything that it chooses to do. He's omnipotent. Amen? Everybody believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, let's read this next quote. Number 12. When he said the expression he made, I jotted it down. No, go back to the one before that. You're right. When he said the expression he made, I jotted it down on a piece of paper. I'll pick it up in my office there. Two, omnipotence met. Now, are they two gods? Satan's not all powerful. Hello? Two omnipotence met. That's true. When God and a believer meet, there's two omnipotence. Because God, a man, is a part of God. He's a son of God. And what little he is joins the entire body. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you have said, it will come to pass. Believe that what you said, and a Christian is so marked that around him is an atmosphere.
Amen.
A Christian is so, that's what I said about normal and abnormal. We're so marked abnormal, but we're the most normal people in the world. All right, let's go to the very last. This is the last one, and we'll be finished. Go to the last quote. Patmos vision. Watch this. Amen. Cut every obstacle from human beings that they might be connected like in the Garden of Eden. I was going to choke it, but I'm going to say it. Man is omnipotent. You don't believe that, but he is. A man fully surrendered to God is omnipotent. Now, what does omnipotent mean? All powerful.
Right.
Did not he say in Mark 11, whatsoever things you say and don't doubt in your heart, it will come to pass. You can have what you've said. What happens when two omnipotents meet?
Right.
When God and man comes together through omnipotence, something's got to shake. Some whatsoever you'd say with that creative power of omnipotence of God, knowing that he's promised it and he said it in his word, it creates a power that goes out yonder and brings things to pass. Things that is not, it makes them as though they are, because two omnipotents have met. There he stands.
Amen.
Oh, isn't he wonderful? Two omnipotents, two all-powerfuls meet.
Amen.
Amen. Omnipotent means all powerful. I'm just reading you what Brother Brown said about us. Because the two omnipotents is you and God. When two omnipotents meet and we believe the word of God, knowing that he promised it and he said it in his word, it creates a power that I'm going to interpolate here, a power that will change your body. Because remember, it's already changed your thought process. It should already have thought. We shouldn't be thinking like we were thinking before. Why are we still in this message 50-something years? We ain't nothing going on. Yeah, there's something going on. Maybe you need to get on the train. Maybe you need to get to reading quotes like that. That it'll what? It'll give you a confidence inside of you. That God's already said that about us in 1964. That two omnipotents have met.
Right. Amen.
And that doesn't include the devil nowhere.
Right.
He's totally out of the picture. Let's stand to our feet. He's totally out of the picture. It's not two omnipotents, God and the devil.
Right.
Heavenly days. So where does the power lay? The power lays inside of you. Give God a clap. He's the one that did it for you. I didn't. Musicians, let's come. When two omnipotents meet. See, listen, when you have the mind of Christ, what else is that? You've lost the mind of your human nature, of your human, even your thoughts. Look, the things that we preach, the things that we see, and the things that we hear when we mash play, the world don't understand that. But you're right there in tune with it. When you say amen, you're saying so be it, that's exactly correct. Because what? One omnipotent is looking at the other one and saying, that ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. What are you doing back here? Sing a song. Where's Richard? If he's not coming, you play the bass. Where's Rich? Richard fall out? Are you running the system? Okay. Huh? Okay.
83, Lily of the Valley. E flat.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything.
Let's worship him now.
He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The Lily of the Valley. In him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. Oh, in sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll.
Hallelujah.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. All my griefs have taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn. From my heart and now he keeps me by his power.
Listen to this.
Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach my goal. Hallelujah. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
If I have a name,
he will never, never leave you, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will.
Listen to this.
There's a wall of fire around me. I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
You know, I was over in the Philippines. In Jamaica a couple years ago. We had that youth camp, and this song came on my heart. while we were singing that song, I felt led. I didn't know how we were going to, we weren't going to have a prayer line. We were just going to, you know, pray for everybody. It was a youth camp. And that song, just the verse there stuck out, a wall of fire around me. I have nothing now to fear. So I had all the deacons and all the brothers encircle all the youth in the whole building, several hundred kids, and they encircled them and held hands. And I said, okay, kids, there's a wall of fire. Nothing to fear. There's a wall around you. And brother, we started praying, and I have not prayed for 30 minutes in my life. I'm sorry, I just haven't. We prayed for over 30 minutes, and God did some work inside that ring of fire, because they really caught on that they were in a safe place, because they had that wall of fire all around them. And I said, there's nothing now to fear. This is what tells you. Now, the wall, that fire is going to keep everything, and whatever you need to get rid of, you just throw it to that wall of fire and let it burn it up. And buddy, we had a good time. But that, you look and you see the inspiration of this person, whoever wrote this. He's talking about the lily of the valley, and then all of a sudden he says, there's a wall of fire around me. There's nothing now to fear. He might be the peace of the lily of the valley, but there's got to be a fire. That wall of fire is all the way around us. Listen, like Brother Dale said, I don't think you'll walk through the city of the future home and you're this like this light bulb. But there is a glow over the whole city because of you being there. Because of you being there and because of you walking in this world, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Well, if Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, so are you. Listen, you're walking through a dark place right now. Sure, we got artificial light, but when you walk out in that world, that's demon territory. And you better hope you got a wall of fire around you. Maybe that you can't see. I pray one day that God will show it to us. He'll just show you a little something. Because you know Satan will love to kill every one of us. Every breath we take, God has protected that breath. Because Satan's standing there wanting to just absolutely. Because if he can get rid of you, he's got God whipped. Because there's nothing in the plan of God that says God can come back here and redo the whole thing again. He can't come back here and die on a cross again. So God's got to put a wall of fire around you. Because he's protecting what he's already said. He's protecting his word, and that word walks in you through life. You're the word made flesh. Two omnipotents have met, and we are in a place to where now them two omnipotents work together. He's never had a group of people that he can work through like he has right now. I don't believe that. He sure has used them in the power that they needed in for each time and each church age. But right now, today, we got to believe the impossible. And to believe the impossible, we have become the impossible. You and I are an impossibility. We are. We're impossible. This should not happen. It really, think about it. Think about it. Like I said, when you open the Bible, you don't see a Trinity. You don't see eating an apple. You don't see water baptism and name Father, Son, Holy. You don't see eternal hell. You don't see those things in here. Now, did the Bible change? No. The omnipotent that wrote it. Once you're connected to God, you can't separate. He can't do it, Brother Luis. He cannot separate. How can he separate himself? He cannot separate himself once he's joined. He's vulcanized. I wish I'd have took that picture in the Philippines. We vulcanize here. I think that, Brother Joe, I think we need to put that over the back of the window of the door also. We vulcanize here. Amen? We vulcanize right here. That was a sign in the Philippines. It was the tire place that we vulcanize here. I thought, man, we need to stop and take a picture of that. Because you know what vulcanizing does? It puts two pieces of the same material. When two omnipotents meet, they become one. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've held to people a long time. We're sorry for that, Father, but we pray that what we said will be something that will help them through their journey. Lord, through life and through all the things that we have to deal with, Lord, as family and friends, and a lot of times try to come against us, but Lord, you're the only family we have is you. You're our Father. And Lord, you said that we were the Word made flesh in the end time. So Lord, it's as we were talking about last night, you can't swear by anything else. So you swore by yourself. And to me, this Bible is your word that you swore is going to make come to pass. So you swear on yourself, and that's one omnipotent. Well, now you've got an omnipotent working in this dimension called the Bride of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we'll take these things and ponder them in our heart. Forgive us of our sins. Be with us on the highways, the way home. Be with the ones that are not here, Lord. Save the lost. Heal the sick, Lord. Be with Brother Dick tomorrow, Lord. Just whatever. Whatever happens, Lord, we pray that we all have faith that thing will be gone before they even get started. That we'll believe that. But Lord, if the situation occurs, Lord, just keep them both strong. We love them both, Lord, just like family. They are family. And we appreciate them, Lord. We thank you for them. Now we come boldly to the throne and ask, Lord, as tonight and in the morning, we all together as a church, Lord, may we touch you, Lord, with the feeling of our infirmity. Father, just be with us now. Take care of us. Bless us on our way home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's a lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole.